This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. Our radio show is heard on Pacifica stations nationwide, and you can also watch our TV program on Free Speech TV and on our website. Using every single vote at their disposal, Senate Republicans on Thursday passed a bill by a one-vote margin to strip reproductive health care providers, including Planned Parenthood, of federal funding that covers family planning services, among other things. Because two female Republican senators, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, voted against the bill, Republicans had to scramble to get enough votes. They brought in Georgia Senator Johnny Isakson, who was recovering from back surgery, to vote for it. Still missing one vote, Vice President Mike Pence was required for the second time in the Trump administration's short-lived tenure to break a tie. Now the bill will go to Donald Trump for his signature, effectively overturning a protection put in place under President Barack Obama that allowed federal funds to continue to be used towards things like cancer screenings, contraception, and annual gynecological exams for low-income American women. My guest is Christine Grimaldi. She's the federal policy reporter for Rewire News. Welcome to the show, Christine.
Thank you, Sonali.
So the Senate used this Congressional Review Act, which is something that they've used quite a bit in the last few weeks, which is this obscure, usually not very often used way to undo the actions of the previous administration, providing they do it very soon in the first days of a new administration. Just going through the actions that I described that they took, how close was this vote? How, you know, desperate, if you will, was the GOP to get this passed?
Yeah, like you said, the GOP had to fly in Johnny Isakson, who's been recovering from back surgery. We knew going into this vote that Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, both Republican senators, were likely no votes, given that they have an understanding that their constituents do rely on family planning services. So Republicans held the vote open for an hour waiting for Isakson to arrive. And even after he cast his vote, they needed Mike Pence, who was waiting in the wings, to cast the final vote, tipping the scales in the GOP's favor.
And again, when the vice president cast the is needed to cast the tie-breaking vote, that basically means that you have something that just wouldn't pass otherwise, and it's not something that's used very often again, and it's the second time. The first time Mike Pence had to do this was in the Senate confirmation vote for Betsy DeVos as education secretary. I mean, this really shouldn't have been a bill that passed, and yet it did. Let's talk about what it does. Last time we had you on, we discussed it as well when the House passed it. This is basically, President Obama, I understand, prevented states from removing federal funding from abortion providers, not money that would go towards abortion, but money that would go towards non-abortion-related services, just being conducted by the same people that do provide abortions. Is that accurate?
Right. There seems to be a GOP myth that money is fungible, and that if you take away money that would be used toward family planning services, that would free up money for these family planning providers to use those funds for abortion care. But that's not the case. The federal Hyde Amendment prohibits any federal funds from being used for abortion care, except in very rare instances. So taking this money away really does hurt the other services, like you were talking about, you know, breast cancer screenings, cervical cancer screenings, those kinds of things, contraceptive access that, you know, people won't be able to access potentially.
It's really pathetic because here we basically have the money that these organizations were getting could have only been used for those things. That money couldn't have been used for anything like abortion. It could only have been used for OBGYN exams, etc. And of course, these are programs that poor, often uninsured women rely on. And so the Republicans are basically taking away reproductive health care from poor American women and being very smug about doing this.
Right. Mike Pence actually smirked when he cast his first of two tie-breaking votes yesterday. In the morning, Pence had to break the first tie after Isaacson arrived to allow the bill to come to the floor in the first place.
That's just a
Senate
okay.
procedure. And then after that vote, you saw Democrats, two dozen of them, come to the floor and really speak up and really implore their GOP colleagues, can't one of you come to our side? Can't one of you stand up for reproductive health care, for women's access to contraception, to cancer screenings? And then as you saw in the second vote, that didn't happen. And again, Pence had to break that tie.
So this is something that Trump, I mean, there's just no way he won't sign it. He made it part of his campaign platform, right? To essentially undermine Planned Parenthood.
Right. He tried to, I'm trying to think of the word, extortion comes to mind.
Wow.
I believe last week, Trump took to Twitter before Republicans in the House, their failed Obamacare repeal bill, and said, oh, you know, we won't go after Planned Parenthood if they stop providing abortion care. Well, you know, that's not going to happen. Abortion care isn't really the bulk of what Planned Parenthood does. I believe it's only 2 or 3% of the services that Planned Parenthood provides, but it's still a very important component of a comprehensive reproductive health care. And I think it's important to note, you'll see a lot of media reports classifying this as defunding Planned Parenthood, but that's really not the case. There are many different Title X providers. Planned Parenthood treats about 1.5 million of Title X patients. Those are, you know, patients with low incomes, but there are about 4 million total Title X patients as of HHS's own accounting in 2015.
So a lot of the tarring and feathering of Planned Parenthood that has been done unfairly over the last few years was done by a group of activists who basically secretly videotaped conversations they had with people, with staff of Planned Parenthood offices, creatively edited those videos to make it seem as though Planned Parenthood was in the business of selling fetal tissue. And the GOP repeatedly referred to these videos in their attacks on Planned Parenthood. Now, California is trying to maybe win a little bit of justice. Can you tell us about what California Attorney General Javier Becerra did? He, I understand, slapped two of these activists, these right-wing pro-life activists, with felonies. What exactly did he accuse them of doing, as far as you understand?
Sure. My colleague Amani Gandhi wrote about this the other day. She's one of our brilliant legal minds. California Attorney General Xavier Becerra's office charged David DeLayden and his colleague Sandra Merritt with 15 felony counts. David DeLayden, as we all know, is the architect of this anti-choice front group, the Center for Medical Progress, and this smear campaign against Planned Parenthood, in which him and his colleague went undercover, took video of Planned Parenthood employees and providers and wildly misquoted and edited them. This led to a $1.59 million witch hunt in the U.S. House of Representatives, in addition to several other congressional investigations, all of which found no wrongdoing, except for the witch hunt, which found trumped up charges in the end. Presumably, Becerra is familiar with this. He just came from the House of Representatives. He served as the chair of the House Democratic Caucus, and he took over for the newly elected Senator Kamala Harris as California AG. So I guess it's not completely surprising to see him take such a strong action, given his presumable knowledge of what had happened on the Hill.
Do you think it's enough to deter these anti-abortion activists from doing this sort of thing again?
No. I guess I take the cynical view after a long week in Congress. I think what what is important, or perhaps what does give me hope, is that these charges could perhaps deter Republican lawmakers from taking people like David DeLayden and these anti-choice extremists who will stop at nothing to smear Planned Parenthood and other providers of abortion care. I hope that it would make Republicans reconsider their source material and who they rely on when they decide to pursue charges in the U.S. Congress.
So, Christine, what now on the issue of this particular bill and the Congressional Review Act undoing Obama's protections? Is it basically now up to states to strip away this funding? And if so, what are we going to see happening, given that Republicans and Republican governors control a majority of states in the country?
Well, this rule, as I talked to a number of advocates, including the National Women's Law Center and other groups, this rule really didn't change anything. It just added an extra layer of protection. It clarified existing law. States already aren't supposed to be interfering in federal funds, in Title X funds that go to reproductive health care providers. But some of them are. And so I guess the fight just continues. The fights in the states that advocates are having to try to protect these providers. And again, President Trump hasn't signed it yet, but he has indicated that he will. So I think, just keeping up the pressure and the opposition to this is really important.
Could organizations that rely on this funding and that might now feel threatened that it would be stripped away, could they sue to keep the funding based on the premise that states are not supposed to interfere in federal funding?
I believe some have. I would have to talk to some of my colleagues who cover the state level fights, but I believe that some have and will continue to see those. I believe that the courts tend to side with the providers in those cases because that's where the legal standing is.
Go ahead.
One more distinction. We are going to see another fight, perhaps, about Planned Parenthood on the Hill in the upcoming weeks. Government funding is running out at the end of April. Some Republicans would like to see Planned Parenthood, quote unquote, defunded in a continuing resolution, which is a stopgap measure to keep the government running in the absence of a budget. So we'll see if that happens. A lot of Republicans are saying, I don't know, we don't want to shut down the government over that, but we have seen that fight come up before. And that is a much bigger pot of money than what we're talking about with the Title X funding. That was about $60 million or so in 2015. But the quote-unquote defunding Planned Parenthood that we saw in the Obamacare repeal and that we could see coming up in a continuing resolution, that goes after the Medicaid reimbursements, which is hundreds of millions of dollars.
And again, targeting vulnerable Americans.
Exactly.
Well, Christine, we might have to have you back on the program to talk about that if and when that happens. Thank you for all your work. You've got the website for Rewire News?
Yes, it's rewire.news.
And we'll post a link to that from our site later today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
Christine Grimaldi is the federal policy reporter for Rewire News. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.